Well, good morning, and I'm so excited to be here to be part of Missions Conference in the 50th year of this church plant here. And it's an honor and privilege for me to preach the Word of God, and I don't deserve it, but I'm so thankful that our God is Almighty God. He can use anybody. So thankful who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what He does in our lives. Let's turn to our theme passage, Psalms chapter 84, Psalm 84. So it's exciting to see many missionaries here present, and they doing deputation and preparing to go to the field and preach the gospel, that glorious gospel that saves souls. And unfortunately, many missionaries, not from Baptist, but from different denominational, they don't go to preach the gospel, sadly. The word missions or missionary come from the Latin word missio, which means sent. The Greek equivalent of that word is apostolos, that means sent one. And Jesus Christ has sent us. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. So as a Christian, we are all sent to the field to unsaved souls, which are all around us. And we need to reach them with the gospel, the good news. And that's the purpose of this missions conference. We want to send out missionaries from here, support them, and financially and prayerfully to send them to preach the gospel. But also we're looking to the Lord that He would call us, each individual, to respond to that call, to go and preach the gospel. So what do we do as a missionary? What's the mission job? What do we have to do? Dr. Ben Sinclair, who's executive director of Baptist World Mission right now, who used to be a missionary in Cameroon, and he defines missions as the sending forth of God-ordained servants who are willing to cross geographical, cultural, and language barriers to proclaim the good news of the special revelation, salvation, and sovereignty of the Lord to all peoples in all regions of the world. Yeah, we need to tell people the good news, the gospel, who God is and what He does if you trust Him. But sadly, again, many missionaries do not tell people about Jesus. They do social gospel, socializing with people, trying to be friend with them. And in 1940, missionary Robert Glover said, he said, almost every book written on the subject of missions emphasized sociology, psychology, and even ethics, but left out theology. Theology must be the foundation of missions. We need to tell people about who God is and what He does. And in fact, I was in Tajikistan early this year with Brother Todd Henricks and my missionary friend Tim Smith, who was with us this morning. And we went there, and we noticed that there are so many missionaries there, but they're not doing anything for the Lord. They don't have any gospel preaching, no Bible studies, but they do have some entertainment, you know, socializing. And I saw this young girl, American girl at her 20s, and not modest at all. And she's just attracting a lot of young people there, having class and teaching them about painting or some kind of just socializing gospel. She's not preaching the gospel. And there are many other missionaries, and they notice Tim Smith is doing Bible study. He's reaching out to Afghanis. Afghanis are hard. And they were shocked. You can do Bible study in this country, in Tajikistan, which is a closed country? Yes, by God's grace, you are able to do that, because we receive authority not from Tajikistan, the government there, but from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to proclaim the gospel to all people in all closed and open country. So the Lord opened the door for us this past summer to go to Canada to spend 2 months there working with Pastor Ben Turner. And so we were there, and we reached out to Persians, there, and the Lord used it, and we saw 14 souls getting saved. So 14 Iranian Muslims got saved, and some Afghanis as well. And I told Pastor Ben Turner, I said, they're going to need a church, but you need to have a separate service for them. Don't mix them with Canadian. They need to learn in their own language. So use interpreter to preach to them, teach them using interpreter, and God is going to work mightily, and they're going to bring their friends one bit by bit, and the church is going to grow. And so he listened, and he did it. He started like in August 23rd, he started first Farsi service. And we have this slide, if you show us that picture. And he started this service there using a man, a Christian man who was a Persian. And he was teaching them every Sunday at 1 p.m. But sadly, he had health issues after that. So he's been in hospital since then, many surgeries. He had many brain tumors, stuff like that, and his legs and so many issues. And he has not been able to attend to his church to minister. So what do we do? These Persians, they've been saved. They've been coming to church. But you see the picture there. They're listening. They're watching to me, to my messages online, preaching to them. So they are able to connect to my sermons on YouTube, and they are able to gather every Sunday. They send me picture every Sunday that they had. They listen to that message or this message. They told me, and this is exciting. God is working. He saved them. They are growing in the Lord. But sadly, there is no laborer. There's no preacher there to preach in Farsi. And I'm so burdened. It's amazing. Wherever you go, people are open. They want to get saved, but laborers are so few, as Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 9. So that's Canada. And then just a few months ago, five, 6 months ago, a man in Turkey reached out to me. And they have some churches there in Turkey, in different cities in Turkey, apart from those two churches that we planted, not those two churches, but this man is, I don't know him. He reached out to me. He said they have six churches in Turkey in different cities. He said, we don't have preachers to preach to them. He said, can you help us preach to one of our churches? And they're not Baptist like us. I said, well, I'm glad to do that, but I'm going to preach whole counsel of God. I might refute some charismatic teachings. And are you happy with that? He said, yeah, no problem. So I've been go to the next slide, please. So I've been teaching these Iranians and Afghanis who are in Turkey. They are refugees, and I teach them. I preach to them every Friday. This is just last Friday. 2 days ago, I preached to them sitting there, and they listening. They don't have any preacher. So you see that the laborers are a few, and there is a great need. And I pray that the Lord would work in your heart this morning and next few days, that you would see that call, hear that call of God to be able to go to this field in Africa, in Turkey, in many countries, in Europe, Central Asia. There's great need everywhere. So in Psalm 84, this psalmist is possibly sons of Korah, the attribute to sons of Korah. And this is pilgrimage psalm that people would travel from different cities and different area to come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And he tells us in verse 11, the theme verse, for the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good things will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So he said God is sun and shield, and he's going to give grace to go and glory to shine. But there is a mandate. So our title of messages are Mandates for Missions. There is requirement. What do you have to do as a Christian to receive that grace to go and to receive glory to shine? What is our mandates for missions? And this psalmist has experienced that, and he has received grace and glory. So the first mandate is love for God. If we love God, we're going to obey him in many areas. And he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We're going to go and teach all nations. If we love him, we'll obey his commandment. And in verse 1, he gives us what we have to do. What's our mandate? The first one is love for God and also house of God. If you love God, you're going to love church. You're going to love the house of God. It says, how amiable are the thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. How amiable, like lovely, admirable is God's tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. John Gill writes about these tabernacles. He said, here are seen the sacrifices slain and offered by which the people were taught the nature of sin, the strictness of justice, and the necessity and efficacy of the sacrifice of Christ. Here the Levites were heard singing their songs and blowing their trumpets, but much more amiable are the church of God and its ordinances in gospel times, where Christ, the great high priest, is seen in the glories of his person and the fullness of his grace, where Zion's priests or the ministers of the gospel stand clothed, being full, fraught with salvation and the tidings of it, where Christ is openly set forth as crucified and slain in the ministry of the word and the administration of ordinances. Here the gospel trumpet is blown and its joyful sound echoed forth, and songs of love and grace are sung by all believers. Yes, we need to love the house of God. And verse 2, he said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The psalmist cries out for the living God. How? By his heart and his flesh. His flesh, that obviously, is lifting up his hand with his lips. He's just praising God. He's just seeking God. He's praying with his flesh, but also with his heart. He does it with his heart. His heart is in the Lord. He loves the Lord. That's why he travels from far to come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. Do you love the church of God, which is far better than Old Testament tabernacle, because Jesus is here all the time, in us, in fact. They didn't have the glory of God all the time. In fact, you have in Ezekiel, the glory of God departed when they sinned against God. They turned their back on God. The glory was departed. Ichabod. He was departed. But we have the glory of God in church. Do you love God? Just Pastor Wayne Cordero, he travels to China to train Christian leaders there. And he traveled one time and he went to a city, and there were 22 Christian leaders traveled from Hunan province in China to come to these meetings to be trained and prepared. So they rode train for about 13 hours to attend to these meetings. They came and they had to go to the hotel upstairs, and they came two by two because they didn't want people to know what's going on, what's happening here, that Christians are gathering, because it's a closed country. So two by two, they went inside, and this hotel room, about 700 square feet, not a big, and then the floor is like wooden floor, no air conditioning. And so they sat there, and the preacher came, and he said, now, if they found out what we're doing here, if they come and arrest us, what's going to happen? And they said, well, in 24 hours' time, they're going to deport you back to America, but they're going to send us to jail for 3 years. And he said, well, out of 22 of you, how many of you have been to prison for their faith? And out of 22, 18 of them said that they've been to prison because of their faith. And then he said, out of 22... look, 22 of you have been leading these churches, underground churches. How many Christians do you think that you're ministering? And they spoke together and they got, you know, calculated, and they said about 20 million. So 20 million people under your ministry, you're ministering out of like 1.3 billion people. It was fascinating. So he said, okay, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and he took 15 Bibles with him from America to give it to those Christians. And he handed over to people. Obviously, 7 didn't receive Bibles out of 22. So 15 received. And he said, now turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And they turned to 2 Peter chapter 1. And as they were starting to read, he noticed that a lady handed her Bible over to a person next to her. And then he was confused. Why did she do that? And as they started reading it, and he noticed why she did it, because she was reciting it by memory. So after preaching, he went to her. He said, I noticed that you were reciting entire chapter of 2 Peter chapter 1. She said, yeah, I have memorized a lot of chapters. And he said, how did you do that? And she said, well, when we go to prison, we have a lot of time to memorize the Bible. And he said, don't they confiscate the Bibles in prison? And she said, yes, they do. That's why some of our friends who come to meet us in the prison, to visit us, they write the scripture in pieces of paper and they give it to us. So that's how we read the Bible. We have some word of God. And then he said, well, don't they confiscate those pieces of paper? And she said, yes, they do. That's why you have to memorize it as quick as possible. If you memorize it, they cannot take it away from your heart that is hitting your heart. And so after the preaching for 3 days, and then he said, when you preach there, you start from 8 o'clock in the morning and you finish about 5, 6 p.m. So you preach like whole day. And he said, after 3 days, he said, it's been great. You've been so sweet. And I'm going to get back to America. Do you have any prayer requests? How can I pray for you? And they said, please, when you go to America, when you gather in this kind of gathering to worship, can you pray for us that we would be like you, to have freedom to worship? He said, I won't pray that. And she said, why? Why not? You're not praying for us? And he said, well, you have rode a train for 13 hours to get here. In my country, if you drive more than an hour, people don't come. He said, you sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit more than 40 minutes, they leave usually. You sat not only here for 3 days on a hard wooden floor, but you did it without air conditioning. He said, in my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, people don't often come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family, and we don't even read any of them. You hardly have Bibles, but you memorize them from pieces of paper. He said, I will not pray that you become like us. I will pray that we become like you. And we need to love God and love His Word, love the church. They desire to have freedom to worship, but that freedom is not going to give you love for God. You need to love Him with all your heart. And we have some believers who came to Turkey from Iran, and this last trip that we had in Turkey, and 2 of them came, these 2 men, they traveled. It took them 3 days, literally, or 4 days, actually. 4 days to get there on a bus. They had to get a bus to cross the border, and from there, they had to wait for a day to get another bus to ride for 13 hours. They were sitting right in the back. No, they couldn't recline and rest for 13 hours, and from there, they came to another city, and then there was no train or any bus. They had to wait another day to come to Denizli, where we were. It took them 4 days to come to our meetings, to get baptized, and to worship freely. And they showed me a picture of their church. Six believers, they meet in a city near Tehran, in Iran, in a coffee shop. The owner of coffee shop is a believer himself. And after like 10 p.m., when they close the coffee shop, they shut down the door, and they meet there in a coffee shop, And I preach to them online usually, and they join, they listen to preaching online in a coffee shop because they love the Lord. They love church. They want to hear God's word. There was another lady who came at her late 70s. She got saved. I led her to the Lord online, and she traveled from Iran to come to Turkey to get baptized. And she was super excited. She was in tears for obeying God's commandment to get baptized. So we need to love the Lord by loving the house of the Lord. And then we have worship in the house of the Lord. In verse 3, even the birds, sparrows, love the house of the Lord, and they found their dwelling place there. In verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. They will be still praising thee. Continual praise and worship. And I saw just the other day, I saw this video of this Jewish soldier there in Israel. And as they were fighting with Hamas, I saw some soldiers, they were shooting, fighting. And other soldiers, they were sitting there, they were worshiping. I didn't understand what they were saying, but I heard Adonai. They were worshiping while fighting with the enemy. And then I saw another video again. They were like dancing together, like around, and worshiping God, just crying out to God with joy. I'm like, this is amazing. Seeing these Jews, I know that they love the Lord, but they have zeal for God, but without knowledge. Pray that they would come to Christ. And we went to, in Tajikistan, we went to, as we were ministering to these students in the Bible Institute, on Sunday, obviously, it's Lord's Day, we have to worship. So we went to this house church in one of Afghani believers' house. So we went there, and these poor people, most of them poor, they left their country in Afghanistan from Taliban. Now they live in Tajikistan, mistreated by Tajik people, by government there. And they were gathering to worship the Lord, to have church service. And the room was a small room, but packed with people. So many of these Afghanis gathering. And I had the privilege to preach. And Brother Timothy Smith also shared the word of God with them. But I noticed that they were not singing. I'm like, no singing? Why is that? Because neighbors all around, they are all Muslims and Tajik people, and they all hate Afghanis, and they cannot sing because everybody will notice what's going on, and they're going to come and arrest them and give them trouble, so they could not sing. And it broke my heart. Gathering the house of the Lord, you can't even sing to glorify God. But they had to be quiet, and preaching had to be quiet, but they love the Lord. They still gather there every Sunday to worship. It was just moving, stirring to see how they love the Lord and they wanted to gather in the house of the Lord to worship. So you need to love the Lord. If you want to receive grace and glory, number one, you need to love the Lord with all your heart. If you don't love the Lord, you're going to love something else. And many Christians, sadly, in free country, they love the things of this world, comfort. That's why they don't receive a call from the Lord. As Pastor preached last Wednesday, God is calling us. He's calling us, but there are so many voices in the world and we don't hear God's voice. He's calling us, but nobody hears them because they are distracted with the things of this world. So we need to set our eyes on God, love Him, and anticipate the call from God. And then number two, not only you love God first, but then strength of God. If you want to go to the mission field, you need strength of God. Verse 5, it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Do you receive strength from God, or do you trust your own intellect and ability? You might say, well, I don't think I'm qualified to be a missionary because I'm not an educated person. I don't have any money. I'm just nobody. I don't have anything. I'm so weak person. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31, look what God is promising you. If you are weak and you think that you knew nobody, you can't serve the Lord, it says, has thou not known, has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? You might think that you are tired and weary. God is not fainting. He is not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. Yes, I've seen so many young men. There was this man in Australia. He was a Christian. He got saved, and he was on fire. He loved the Lord at his late 20s, probably 28, 29 years old, and he was playing rugby for Australian national team. He was power. He was so high, probably 7 or 6'7" or something like that. He was very tall, strong, muscly. He was, and we were going out to hand out tracts and share the gospel. He was coming with us all the time. He was such a sweet young Christian. But he got cancer, and within less than a year, he died. So a young man shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's the good news for you. If you think that you're nobody, you are a weak person, you are uneducated, you have no knowledge of Bible, God has all wisdom and knowledge. Just trust him. Get his strength. Pray and ask God to give you that strength that you need so you can go to the field. Grace to go and glory to shine. And Jesus, Philippians 4:13, that's a famous passage or verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So what area do we need strength? For conducts of life. It says in verse 5, the second part, in whose heart are the ways of them. Are the ways of them. In Farsi, it reads, in whose heart are the ways of God. God's way is in their heart. In fact, John Gill says that thy ways, like the ways of God, he interprets that way. Like this is the way of God is in their heart. These people who love the Lord, who comes to tabernacles to worship God, God's way is in their heart. And sadly, I heard this news from a friend of mine in Turkey, and there was this young man who got saved, and then there is another lady who came from Iran, and she got saved as well, and I led her to the Lord, in fact, in Turkey. And they've been coming to church, and they got into a relationship with each other. And just lately, they moved into a building to live together without getting married, live in sin, and they don't even come to church. Well, they didn't learn God's way. This is not the way of God, to live together without getting married. This is world's way, Hollywood way, that's teaching you that's okay to have girlfriend and boyfriend and live in, and this is actually love. Love is love. You can love and as you wish, and live together. This is lust, and God calls it fornication. He said the marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. God honors marriage and the bed. But whoremongers and fornicators, God will judge, Bible says. God is against fornication. So they didn't learn God's way. They learned world's way, Hollywood way. So we need to have biblical conviction, the principles of the Bible in our lives, especially those young believers. If you young in your faith, you've just been saved lately, you need to learn how to walk, how to live, what kind of music to listen to. I remember when I got saved, I was listening to this pop music, Turkish music, and Iranian music, and I was driving from work, and Spirit of God struck me somehow. He told me that this is not right, what you listening. And I went home, I got all my CDs. This is like 14 years ago. And I was listening to the CDs in my car, so I break them, I threw them away, got rid of them all. I said, I'm going to listen to godly Christian music. And I've been listening to Christian music since then. I'm rejoicing. God convicts me and he encourages me through good music. So you need to have God's ways in your heart. But also not only for conducts of life, but for trials of life. For trials that come to your life. In verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Warren Wiersbe about this Baca, he said Baca is a Hebrew word meaning balsam tree, and the sap of this tree oozes like tears. The valley of Baca is a name for any difficult and painful place in life where everything seems hopeless and you feel helpless, like the pit of despair. The people who love God expect to pass through this valley and not remain there. They get a blessing from the experience and they leave a blessing behind. Yeah, the trials come to your life. Everybody has trials in life. Some people complain. They get bitter against God. They leave their faith. They don't come to church and they become against God and against Christianity, a lot of people. But those who love God and they read the Bible, they realize that, okay, Job had this trial and God blessed him double portion, gave him double portion, double blessing. So that means I'm going to experience that. And what should I do? I should bless him too, like Job. Blessed be the name of the Lord, he said. So when you go through trials, you're not going to complain. If you love the Lord, if you know the Bible, you're going to leave a blessing there, like Jacob. You know, Jesus went to the well, Jacob's well, and he was there, and he was tired and thirsty, and this Samaritan woman came, and Jesus said to her, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I give you, you shall never thirst. And he said, well, are you greater than our father Jacob, who dug this well and gave to his family and all the way to us for 2,000 years? Jacob dug that well in the wilderness, and many people, thousands, perhaps millions of people have been receiving that blessing, that fresh water. So if you go to the mission field, and many of you go to hard places, like Tajikistan wasn't easy. It was a desert, and like Africa, hard place. And you need to leave a blessing there. Preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus, that they would come to Christ and the church of God would be planted and many thousands of people would get saved next few years. Leave a blessing. And thank God for those missionaries who have gone to many different countries and they planted churches there, and still after 100 years, the church is still there and the gospel has been preached since then. So when you go through trials, hard times in your life, or when you go to the mission field, don't complain, please. Receive the strength of God for trials that you have in your life. Be like Jacob and like Abraham, like Isaac. They dug well and they left a blessing. But not only for conducts of life and for trials of life, but for every step in life. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They go from strength to strength. This is like Hebrew way of saying, you know, when Israelites came out of Egypt and they wanted to go to the promised land, and when they went there, there were so many enemies, and God was blessing them. God gave them victory. So God gave them victory over one nation. They drove them out, destroyed them, and then they went to another nation and he did destroy them. So God gave them victory after victory and after victory, like one nation at a time. So this is saying that when you trust the Lord, when you love the Lord, God is going to give you strength. You're going to go from strength to strength because you have trials all the time. Today you get up in the morning and you have to receive strength from the Lord. Read the Bible and receive his strength. Next day, you're going to have another day and another problems ahead of you. You receive strength for second day. And the next day, when trials come, receive strength. From this strength, go to next strength that God gives you. They They go from strength to strength. So you have to love God, and you need to receive strength from the Lord. And number three, the last point that I have is prayer to God. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They come to Zion to pray. And Jesus said, this is the house of my Father, the house of prayer for all nations. He had zeal for God, for his Father. And also he said, this is the house of prayer. And God loves prayer. And in Psalm chapter 42, verse 2, it says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The psalmist, this is David, he wants to come and appear before God and pray. He loves to meet with the Lord through prayer and expecting answers to prayer. You need to expect answers to to your prayer. Verse 8 and 9, it says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. He is expecting that God will hear his prayer. I remember when I came to America, I just started deputation, and I went to Michigan, and I was in one church on Sunday, and then I had to be in another church for Wednesday service. So between Sunday and Wednesday, I didn't have anything to do, nowhere to go. So I was just looking online to see if there is any meetings, anything. So I was searching, and I noticed that there is revival conference in Emmanuel Baptist Church. Pastor Jason Georges, some of you might know him. And there was revival there. I'm like, oh, I don't know them, but I'm going to go. It was like Monday through Wednesday, I think they had this revival conference. So I decided to go there. So I went there and walked in, didn't know anybody there, obviously, and I noticed that people were gathering, they were praying. And I noticed this man sitting at front, sitting on chair, and his name is Dr. Rick Flanders. He was leading these people in prayer, and they were praying. And I sat there and listening to them, they were praying, and I noticed that just a few minutes after I arrived, somebody was praying, Lord, would you send somebody to Iran? Lord, would you send somebody to preach the gospel in Iran? He was praying. I'm like, and I prayed as well. And then when the pastor Jason Georges, he heard me, you know, this is an unusual accent. He's not American. Who is this person who's praying with us? We don't even know him. So after the meetings, he came. He greeted me and he wanted to know who I am. And I told him that I'm a Persian Iranian missionary, and I'm by deputation trying to, you know, preach the gospel to Persian. I'm like, this is amazing. They were praying in that meeting for somebody to preach the gospel to Iran. And right away, the Lord answered their prayer. I was there just a minute or 2 minutes before they prayed for Iran. Isn't that amazing? Do you think that God answers our prayer? He does, definitely. God is amazing. I have so many experiences that I don't have time to share, but God has answered so many of my prayers. It's just amazing. As a Muslim, I pray to Allah. You don't pray to Allah like you talk to your friend. You pray in Arabic and you don't even know what you say. But coming to church and hearing these people praying in their own language, and I noticed that they love the Lord and they had relationship with their God. Muslims do not have that kind of relationship. They don't call Allah as their father. But I noticed that they were calling God Father. It was just very inspiring, touching, and I loved it. I'm like, man, this is great. Obviously, there was challenge, you know, to call Jesus God, it was challenging, but the Lord spoke to me through Holy Spirit. He convinced me that he is the Son of God. He is God. And I'm going to close with Lamentation, chapter 1, verse 12. This is a prophecy about Jesus Christ. Prophecy about Jesus Christ on the cross. He is just crying out from the cross. He's dying. He's shedding his blood there. It's not happening yet. This is prophecy about 550 BC. In verse 12, Jesus crying out from the cross. He's saying, there's a song, "Is it nothing to you?" I love that song. "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." He's just separated from his Father, and he's seeing these people, they're passing by from the cross, they're passing by, they accuse him that he was blaspheming, destroying the temple, and he's seeing people, and he's like, "Is it nothing to you? Don't you see it? Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? I have this sorrow for you because I love you. I'm shedding my blood for you. Is it nothing to you? Why is it that so many Christians are not going to the field? Why is it that those churches that we saw in pictures in Turkey, in Canada, there's no preacher to preach? Where are those Christians? We have so many Christians in churches. Why are they not going to preach the gospel?" Jesus saying, "Is it nothing to you?" Like, it's like nothing to us that Jesus like, "Okay, I heard that growing up. So what? He loved you. You were going to hell. You were going to hell to die, to burn forever. Do you know how serious that is? I grew up with fear of going to hell all my life as a Muslim. I was trying my best, praying 5 times a day and fasting in Ramadan and so many other stabbing my head with sword and chain and try to do self-harming to please Allah so that he can save me from hell because I was so scared of going to hell. There is a hell, and Jesus preached more about hell than heaven, and there is hell. He said, "Where their worm dies not." Their worm, those people who go there to hell, there's worm eating their flesh all the time and they don't die. They're going to eat your flesh forever in hell. And Jesus saying, crying from the cross, "Is it nothing to you that I'm dying for your sins on behalf of you going to hell? I'm taking your punishment. I'm taking your hell. Is it nothing to you?" So let's love the Lord with all our hearts and reject this world, the things of this world. And let's receive strength from the Lord. You nobody. I know I'm nobody. I don't have any education, or I don't have a lot of money, but God doesn't need my education, my money to use me. God is looking for a willing person to strengthen him, to use him for his glory. Let's get strength from him, and let's be a man of prayer and woman of prayer to pray. Ask God to show us where he wants us to go, and he will. He speaks to us, I promise you. If you ask God to tell you what you have to do, where to go, he will show you where to go. Let's pray.